Well, Merry Christmas to all of you, and to those who are joining us online watching our Vincennes campus, Merry Christmas to you as well. Hey, I want to invite you to one of our Christmas Eve services on Wednesday or Thursday. 10 services across both campuses. We're hoping that you could be here in person, maybe be an invite to someone in the community, a friend, family member, or a coworker, and come in and let this be a part of your Christmas tradition. I think it's a real hallmark of the holiday. If you miss it, it doesn't really feel complete, and you just kind of feel out of sorts if you miss something special like that. And I hope that you can make that a part of the Christmas tradition for you and your family. It's going to be a great service that we have planned. Hey, we're in this series right now called Hindsight is 2020. Forgot what it even called. And no one was helping me. I was like, line, nobody. It's a reminder that God is in control. That in the moments where we feel like we have no hope, when we have no joy, when we have no peace, we really have a God that can redeem all this junk that we're going through right now in 2020. And this has been a season that is supposed to promote peace, Christmas peace. But it feels a little like it's been hijacked, doesn't it? Because we're facing problems that I think are out of our control. And I think when we face problems that are out of control, circumstances, it creates inner conflict. And when we have inner conflict, we feel like anxious and depressed or panicked or pain or at loss. We have a fear that goes along with that. When we just can't get things under our control and when they're out of control, we feel that all hope is lost, and we don't feel the peace. Gallup, who is a pollster, did some surveying on mental health across the United States and had found out from compared to last year that in 2020, of course, our mental health has significantly suffered. As a matter of fact, there is no group, no identity of people that has any positives when it comes to mental health. We've declined this year, except for one group of people who have actually gained positively in mental health over 2020, and it's those who have attended a regular worship service on a weekly basis. They've gone up by 4 points. No one else is, everyone else is in the negative. But if you attend a church service on a weekly basis, more than likely your mental health is greater this year, in 2020, a year of calamity, a time of trial and heartache, than it was last year. Can I just tell you where that comes from? It comes from our sustainer, the one whom we are able to soar over these problems with. Isaiah chapter 40 says it like this: "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Those who are trusting in the Lord during these times of pandemic, these times of problems, they found a renewed hope in Jesus Christ. They found a renewed hope in God, and weekly they come to trust in Him, to soar over their problems, and it shows in statistics that the world has to offer us. And friends, Christmas is supposed to be one of those times of peace. It's supposed to be a time of calm, but it doesn't seem like a whole lot of people are experiencing that. I mean, that study shows that many people are just not in a good place right now. But that wasn't God's intention. God's intention was not just this season, but all of your life, like the Christmas message, you experience a lasting peace, not just a momentary peace, not just a peace when you take a pill or have a plan, but a peace that lasts forever. Luke chapter 2, verse 14 is the birth announcement of Jesus. An angel came and shouted to the world, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth." What's the word? Peace to those whom His favor rests. And I think most in this room, and maybe most in the world perhaps, would describe the definition of peace as a life without conflict. That would give you peace, a life without conflict. Or maybe circumstances that you have control, that you have power over. So how would you find lasting peace if your tranquility is based on having control over your circumstances or having the absence of conflict in your life? How in the world do you even get there? Because this world is filled with things that are out of our control at all times. Like, there are unavoidable circumstances in life, are there? You can't decide when you're going to get sick. It just kind of comes up on you, and you're sick, and your body aches, and your mind hurts. You don't have any control over that. There's just unavoidable circumstances. How about unbearable people? You know any unbearable people? Don't raise your hand. We all know the unbearable people. David, King David in the scripture said, "These unbearable people, they surround me with hateful words and they fight against me for no reason." I got people like that in my life. It seems like their toxicity just always pollutes the waters that I'm in with them. How about unexplainable problems? You ever just thought, I don't know why God's put this in my life. I don't know why this is happening to me. And you just ask God, why? Why are you doing this? What is the reason behind this? And you don't have an answer. And you're not being given an answer. Those kinds of problems, those kinds of things will happen in your life. An unexplainable problem. How about just uncontrollable worry? You just can't shake it. You can't sleep it off. You can't take a medication to kind of get the edge off. Just that turmoil that comes with circumstances that are beyond your control, and you just worry away. You fret over it. Hey, all these things just kind of pile up in our life. And friends, if you're determining that these things kind of settle down and smooth out for you to have peace, it will never happen. Never happen for you. But can I tell you today, because this is a sermon, and we're God people, there is hope. There is hope. Surrounded by all the uncertainty, surrounded by all the insecurity and the fear and the trouble in this world, stands an unchanging, reliable Savior in all of this chaos. And he's called by different names. Jesus, who is the Christ, Master, Savior, Messiah, Son of God, King of Kings, Almighty One, Lord. But the one title that stands out that we need more today is Prince of Peace. Anybody need some Prince of Peace in their life? I do. I need some peace in my life. And I'm looking to God and saying, how do I get this peace in my life? Because that's what's been promised to me in this season. And actually, Isaiah, who was a prophet of God in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, 600 years before Jesus was born, prophesied this message to us. For to us a child is born, talking about Jesus. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, meaning he will have charge over people. And he will be called, why don't we just yell out the titles for Jesus together? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It sounds like a heavyweight title fighter, doesn't it? Just given all the names of who he is and the powerfulness of who he is. But that title, Prince of Peace, let's just kind of camp there because that's what I need. Two Hebrew words make up that phrase, that title of who Jesus is. Sar Shalom. Sar, the Hebrew word, which means Caesar or czar, what we've come to know in our English word, just meaning in charge, that he's the chief, that he is in control. He is the czar of peace. But then there is that Hebrew word for peace, which is shalom. We have the right word, the right translation. We have, though, the wrong understanding of the word peace. Let me explain to you what shalom means, because it's not the absence of conflict, and it's not having circumstances under your control. It's about completeness. It's about wholeness. It's about, here's the definition in the scriptures, and it sounds a little strange, but maybe it gives you an image so that you can put it together in your head. It's like looking at a brick wall and finding no crack, no defect, but just completeness. No crack, no incompleteness, just perfection, wholeness. Job used it like this in the scriptures. You will take stock of your property and find shalom. You will take stock of your property and find, we title it, nothing missing, completeness. It applies to a person's well-being like this. Are you experiencing shalom? Are you experiencing peace? Are you experiencing wholeness, completeness in your life? Because anyone knows that when your life is incomplete, when it doesn't feel whole, you don't feel at peace. Are you catching the idea here? Or is your life missing some bricks? Does your life have some mortar chipped out of it? So it's not whole anymore. There is no more integrity to the wall of shalom. As a verb, here's how this is used. It brings about restoration. It brings about wholeness, meaning what was incomplete can be made complete. Are you catching it, what shalom means? What was broken can be fixed. This is our God, guys. Shalom is filling the gap, sealing the cracks, fixing the broken, making it whole. When Solomon finally finished the temple of the Lord, he had made it shalom, complete. Amazing word. Shalom is when you take what is missing and restore it to wholeness. The kings of Israel were commanded by God that when they made a treaty with their enemy, their rival, that they would find shalom. Not just a peace treaty, we don't fight anymore, but a treaty that says we will change our swords to plows so that we can work together. Enemy nations work together for the betterment of one another so that we will have nothing lacking. We will have shalom, completeness. Not just the absence of conflicts, but the abundance of completeness. And God promised this shalom to you and I. That's what Isaiah 9 is about. That's what the message of the angel is about in Luke too, that what God is really doing at Christmas is he is welcoming all of us to be made whole, to be made complete. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Shalom to those on whom his favor rests. Here's why this is significant. Because you're like me and I'm like you, and we pray to God and we say, God, would you take this problem from me? God, would you take this pain from me? Would you take this anxiety from me? Would you just take this stress from me? Just give me a little bit of rest. And friends, I know that God wants to take that from us. He wants to lift our burden. And he does lift our burden. I mean, statistically, he lifts our burden. Some of us are soaring over problems here because of the trust we have in God. But I just need you to know that peace isn't the absence of problems. It's the abundance of God's presence. That's where peace is. It's not just like, God, get rid of all this stuff that's causing me anxiety. Get rid of all these problems. Get rid of this pandemic. Just make my life right. No. That's not where peace is found. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. It's found in the abundance of God's presence. So peace isn't the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. And Jesus does not only possess peace. Jesus is peace because he is what? Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He's the one who is in charge of making all things whole, redeeming all things that were broken, filling in the gaps of your life, and repairing it. Isn't this great? Peace is not the absence of problems. You're going to have problems. What is peace? It's the abundance of God's presence in your life. Your finances need some peace. They need some shalom, wholeness. It cracked. Hey, it's not God, would you take away my bills? It's God, would you get involved in my life? Would your presence just surround my financial dealings? That's when I'll have some peace. Because I'll have some times when I overspend, I won't always overspend. I'll have some moments where I may have some shoddy financial. God, my marriage has some problems in it. It has problems because I exist in it. Would you bring some shalom right now? There's always going to be some problems in a relationship, but God can make it whole. You can have peace and still have problems. Got some problems in your family? Same. Why don't you invite the general of peace, Sar Shalom? Peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. You get God involved in those things. You say, God, I welcome you into my finances. I welcome you into my marriage. I welcome you into my family. I welcome you as I parent these kids. Give me some peace because there's going to be some problems. I can just count on it. Friends, the reason why I'm teaching you this is I'm kind of teaching myself. But I'm teaching you this because I suppose that there's a whole lot of you that need some peace right now. And you've tried some things, and it's just not working. You've tried some things, and it's not lasting. It's momentary, but it is not eternal. And Jesus taught us that we will never experience that lasting peace. We will never experience the way the world offers it. It's not going to be found in a treaty. It's not going to be found in a contract. It's not going to be found in a job. It's not going to be found in more money. It's not going to be found in a contract extension. It's not going to be found when you take the vaccine. Your problems are not going to go away then. It's not going to be found when the pandemic is eradicated and you no longer have to say the words COVID-19 because we've moved on to COVID-20 or something. I don't know. I know this. Some of us have this like fictitious idea. We're fooling ourselves that on January 1, like there's a steel wall that comes up and puts us in a protective bubble from 2020. And all of a sudden, 2021 is now like rainbows and butterflies and unicorns. All of a sudden, I don't know how that works, but some of us have that real belief. Here's what Jesus said about true peace. He says it's not going to come from the world. It's going to come through heaven because he is the Prince of Peace, and there is no other Prince of Peace in this world. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Not peace from your problems, guys. Not to bail you out of some peace of mind and heart. How do you get in peace of mind and how do you get in peace of heart today? And the peace, the shalom, the peace I give isn't fragile. The wholeness I give isn't fragile. It's not going to be broken apart again. It's not like that brick wall that's going to be devastated and cracked. No, it's wholeness. Isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. Hey, the peace that Jesus gives isn't fragile. It's whole. The peace that Jesus gives is strong and can hold up under the pressure of this life and anything the world can throw your way. And this world has thrown a ton of stuff our way, a ton of problems our way. Some of you have experienced loss like you've never known loss before. You've experienced heartache. You don't have peace of mind. You don't have peace of heart. And you're looking to something or someone to give that to you. And you've probably felt the sting of loss this year in 2020 more than you have in any other year prior. I know that Heather McGuire has. Heather and Kirk both attend our Vincennes campus. Heather is involved in our Shift ministry. It's a ministry to our middle schoolers in Vincennes. And she expressed that one of the greatest fears that she could probably think of as we were going through kind of the rollout of the pandemic first on was, boy, these people are losing loved ones. But if I were to ever lose my dad, that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen in my life. And she just thought, if I were to ever lose my dad, he's like my hero. He's the one that always supports me. He's always by my side. That would be the greatest fear in my life. And my life would be shattered if my dad ever died. And then the worst thing imaginable happens. In the middle of summer, he contracts COVID. Compound that with some other health issues that Ron had. And she gets a phone call September the 4th. A phone call that she thought was going to wreck her wall and end her shalom. Heather, your father has died. And here's what she writes about that day and that moment when she thought she would be wrecked in life because her greatest fear had just become a reality. Somehow, on the worst day of my life, I felt a sense of peace. Somehow, I didn't fall off the deep end. Somehow, I was strong for my family. Somehow, I explained to my children that their best friend was gone from us. Somehow, I accepted death. Somehow, it was September 2020. I finally realized somehow it was God. Peace in the middle of a problem. Wholeness, completeness, shalom. Doesn't that seem to go beyond our understanding? Doesn't that transcend understanding? The world doesn't understand that. Like, your greatest fear came true in your life. Your father has passed away, but yet you say you've never experienced a peace like what you're experiencing now. That just goes beyond understanding. What Heather has found, and what many of you have found, is peace isn't the absence of a problem. Peace is the presence of God in your life. So how do you possess this lasting peace when your soul is overwhelmed, overloaded? How do you possess a lasting peace like that? When you are crushed under the weight of life, how do you possess peace? Jesus shows us how. Matthew 11, verse 28, a familiar passage of Scripture, Jesus says these words, "You come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Okay, that's just everybody, right? Like anybody in here just like, well, hey, life, carefree, easy going, not worried about a thing today. No, he says, I know you're weary. I know you're carrying heavy burdens. You need to come to me. And what does he say? I will give you rest. And that sounds good, but this isn't like, you know, he's got a great sleep number mattress he wants to sell you and he wants to give you a quality night's rest. This is something more than just physical rest because you know how to get that. And if you don't, your doctor does. Take my yoke upon you, he says. We're going to learn what that is. Let me teach you. We're going to figure out what that is. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, meaning you come to Jesus and he's not going to push you away. You come to Jesus as you are and he's going to welcome you in and you will find rest. Here's the rest. Rest for your what? For your soul. Rest for your souls. There's nothing in this world that offers rest for your soul. There's nothing in this world that offers rest for your soul. And yet so many of us are burdened in the soul. We're burdened at the core. We know we're not whole. We know we're incomplete. And Jesus says, if you do some things, you can find this kind of rest, inside rest, emotional, spiritual rest, rest from guilt, rest from overwork, rest from mental exhaustion, rest from emotional exhaustion, rest from fear. Jesus says, I can deal with that. I know how to do that. You know what the world says how to deal with all that stuff? The world says, don't come to me. The world says, get away. Go to Tahiti. Spend some time on the beach. You know what the problem with that is? I go to Tahiti, and all my problems go with me because they're right here. They're not left in the office. They're not left at home. They're just right here because that's where problems lie. It's rest for the soul. And if it was just as simple as an escape, we would all escape and we would never be here because we'd constantly be searching for rest. But we know better than that. Plus, it's expensive.
And you go, well, you know, I've learned to unwind. I've learned to cope in some ways. And so, you know, maybe you go to the movies, or maybe you just have a sport that you watch, or exercise, or a hobby that you do. Hey, that's good. That's all good stuff. But is that going to give you rest for your soul? Is that lasting rest for your soul? Or is that just escaping momentarily from your problems? Because when I exercise, I don't think about anything but exercise for that time. And then I have to go back to my problems again. No, the antidote to an overloaded soul, Jesus gives here. It's not time management. It's not a philosophy. It's not a pill. It's not a plan. It's a person. And Jesus says, you come to me. The world says, you get away. Jesus says, you come. Hey, the antidote to a soul that is overburdened and needs rest, needs peace, needs shalom, needs completeness, starts with come to Jesus. Simple. Step one, come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. Don't run from him. He's not the cause of your problems. Actually, he's the one that can solve the problems. There is nothing out of his control. How about run to the Prince of Peace? He's in charge of it, and you need it. How about run to the one who has control over it? And guys, that's not a one-time thing. Because I think the reason why I'm seeing believers freaking out in this moment and not experiencing peace like we're talking about is because they came to the baptistry and they saw that as the finish line, not as the starting line. And you came to the baptistry and you thought, I am going to die to sins and make Christ my Lord and Savior. Done, complete, faith is finished. I've done it. No, no, no. That's the beginnings. That's why it's called the new birth. That's why Jesus equates to being born again. It's just starting now. It's just starting. And now you can learn and grow. And now you can learn how to crawl and walk. Finding rest for your soul, you come to Jesus. And have you ever noticed that God sometimes uses pain as a megaphone to get your attention? C.S. Lewis, I think, said something to the effect that pain is God's megaphone to arouse a deaf world. And some hear it, and others don't. Some respond to that pain, and God has their attention, and others are turned off by that pain, and they actually are deaf to God. And the ones that have responded to God have actually found peace and comfort and greater faith, even though they're in a painful situation. Because God got their attention. Kayla Kelm and her husband, Jonathan, they serve in our nursery at Bethany, and they're just such dedicated difference makers. Jonathan is just constantly inviting friends and family members to attend church with him. He just sees the value in the invite and the importance of it. But just like so many of us, they saw this pandemic as a huge problem for them and their family and for their faith. They said their faith was on autopilot. You ever feel that way? Like they just checked out. They're just kind of doing their own thing, but not really growing in the Lord. And this pandemic, God got their attention because oftentimes God uses pain and problems to rouse a deaf world. They said they really took notice when the church decided not to do in-person worship. That really got their attention. And then we all went to online services, and many of us recognized, boy, this is so difficult. If anybody has kids, you're trying to do online service, it's near impossible to do church service at home with kids. And that was their situation. And so they just stopped watching. And they say that their faith grew really distant and kind of a dark period of life. And then it just kind of hit Jonathan. Someone's got to step up and be a man of God in this household. Somebody has to do this. He said, this is me. So Jonathan starts reading God's word, becomes a daily follower of Christ and coming to him daily, connecting with Jesus daily through the scriptures and through prayer, and then inviting his family around the dinner table to talk about faith matters and to pray together like they never have before. And Kayla says their faith is stronger today than it ever was. 2020 brought them closer to the Lord. Is that true of you? And here's what she gives God thanks for. She says, I am forever thankful God stopped us in our paths. Anybody thankful that God kind of put the brakes on some things this year? She is. Why? Because we were able to get to the next level of our faith. Peace, wholeness in the middle of problems. That's the Prince of Peace, because he transcends our problems. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And then when you do, connect with Jesus, because that's what he invites us to do, to yoke up with him, to band together with him, which the yoke is. In agricultural terms, it's to put two animals together to pull the weight and to shoulder the burden than just one. And so you yoke them together so that the burden is easier. And Jesus is saying, would you just yoke up with me? My back's a little stronger than your back. And when you put me there with you, there is nothing that we can't do together. See, some of you right now, you're trying to shoulder your own load. You're trying to pull your own wagon of burden. And Jesus says, you come to me and then let's connect with each other and I will share your burden. How about that? How about he begins to share the burdens that you're overwhelmed with, the problems that you can't escape from. And what I found is, as I come to Jesus and I connect to Jesus, I feel that when I come and connect to him, that that load, that burden that I carry is lighter. But when I disconnect from Jesus, all that frustration, all that anxiety, all that despair, all of that pressure and stress just seems to come right back on when I think it is all dependent on me to pull my own load. And Jesus says, would you come to me? Would you connect with me? And can I tell you, there's a lot of us that will connect to someone or something, but we won't connect to Jesus. We all connect, we're all yoked to something or someone. And what I find ourselves being yoked to the most, connected to the most, is the expectations of other people. What does my wife think? What does my kids think? What does my boss think? What does my parents think? What does my husband think? My kids think? My friends think? Friends, those are loads that you were never meant to carry. You know who you should be concerned about who thinks what about you? What does God think about me? What does God think about me? Here's what God thinks about you. It's in Matthew. Come to me. I don't want you to be stressed out like you are right now. I don't want you to be consumed with these burdens right now. You don't need to be because I'm the Prince of Peace. You come to me and you connect to me and I'll make your burden easier and lighter. I want you in my presence. And friends, peace is not about the absence of problems. It's the abundance of God's presence in your life, and he wants you in his presence. And he says, would you just, here, you take on, my burden's easy and light. I'll take your burden. Let's just exchange this. Let's be yoked up. Let's pull this burden together. Here's the third thing. Conform to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Connect with Jesus. Conform to Jesus. And this is what he's really getting at when he says, you come to me and learn from me. You learn from me. How do we learn from Jesus? How did Jesus handle those enemies in his world? He loved them. He was at peace with them. How did Jesus handle those that were snarky in their conversations to him and backbiting? He loved them. He found peace with them. How did Jesus handle the problems in this world? He looked up to his Father and said, God, join me in this. I need more of you in this and not just me. Not my will, yours be done. Are you willing to learn from Jesus? To come to Jesus, to connect to Jesus and conform? Because once you start learning, you start to be more like who Jesus is. Jesus, you learn from me and you will find rest. Because you'll learn how to handle the world's problems through God's solutions rather than your own. And let me just kind of give you this to think on for a minute. I'm going to get philosophical. And then if it doesn't work out, I'm going to pray that shalom happens in your life. Because the opposite of peace, and I think you'll agree with this, the opposite of peace isn't conflict. You agree with that? I think the opposite of peace is fear. I think biblically the opposite of peace is fear. You fear something, you don't have peace. You're rattled, you're unnerved. But here's the philosophical. I think the only way to find peace is to first have fear. Let me explain. In the book of Mark, there's a story of the disciples who are out on the boat. It's a famous story. The 12 are in the boat. They're seasoned fishermen. They know how to handle the treacherous waters when storms rise. But a storm rose up and it shook the boat and they were about to be swamped. The waves were tall. The wind was powerful. Jesus is asleep. They wake Jesus up and they say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? He says, absolutely I care. And he stands up and he rebukes the storm and he says to the winds and the waves, stop. Actually, he says, you know the words, peace, be still, shalom, be calm, be whole. Here's Mark 4. Here's what it says after that moment happened. They were terrified and asked, what were they terrified of? Oh, they weren't terrified of the storm, friends. You know what they're terrified of? You know what they're fearful of? The guy that just had power over their storm. And they recognized his authority. They recognized his charge. They recognized his power. He was dangerous. And they were terrified. And they asked each other, who is this? Even the winds And the waves obey. They don't obey us, they obey him. Maybe peace begins with fear. Or how about the women who run to the empty tomb and they recognize that Jesus' body wasn't stolen? No, the women are much smarter than the men in the Gospels, by the way. They recognize his words have come true. He will die and on the third day resurrect again, just like Jonah in the belly of that great fish was spit out after being swallowed up. And what does it say about these women who saw the empty tomb? So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. That seems like oil and water. And ran to tell the disciples, why fear? They have recognized that God is dangerous. He can overcome death. He can do what he says he does. Nothing can stop him. That's a dangerous figure. Maybe we should have a little bit of fear about a dangerous God. And with great joy. Why? Because joy, I don't need to fear that danger because he's safe. He's good. And I'm on his side. And they ran to tell the disciples. And maybe, just maybe, the pathway to peace with God begins with the fear of God. Maybe. I don't know. I think I'm in good company. The wisest guy who ever lived, Solomon, says, Proverbs, that's pretty good company. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. You know what wisdom is? The understanding of who God is. Hey, let me just step on some toes. You fear your boss, but you have stopped fearing the creator of this world. Who has more power? You fear death, but you no longer fear the one that has the power and the authority over death. Who has more power? You fear loss, but you no longer fear the one who has the power to make you whole and give you shalom. You fear the pandemic, but you no longer fear the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, and I think there's good reason to, if you're a child of God, to no longer fear. It started there, but it doesn't have to stay there. Isaiah says to those that are waiting for the Messiah to come, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. The narrative of the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, the angels come to those who are the personalities in the story, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and do you know what they say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And there is a correlation there that outside of God, we should fear God. He is the only one that has the power, the authority, the control over the uncontrollable, can look to your storm and say, peace be still, what kind of man is this? But inside of God, his kids, he is our dad. And you don't need to fear that perfect father, that protector, that provider. And maybe when we are not experiencing the shalom of God, maybe, just maybe, we're putting our fear into the wrong thing. And we fear the pandemic rather than the Prince of Peace. We fear what our boss might say and respond rather than fearing the creator of the world. Jessica Whitehead and Chris Whitehead, they're members of this congregation. She submitted her story here this last week. She told about her movements through 2020 and just told the perfect story, because I think so many of you feel this way. She said, just like the pandemic and the shutdowns and all the social at rest and going to Walmart and where it looked like the apocalypse had just hit at Walmart, you know, she was just overwhelmed with anxiety and a depression that she had never felt before. And I'd say that's so true of so many of us. Just an anxiety that you've never had before, and a depression maybe that you never had before. And then God got her. Had her focus in on a scripture. She said she was watching TV too, and a preacher just preached the same scripture. There's no such thing as coincidence with God. Amen. And in 2 Chronicles, this spoke to her, and I hope it speaks to you because it fits perfectly with how we need to close this. God says, you will not have to fight this battle. That's a relief. Who wants to go fight battles? God says, you don't have to go fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand ready. Get ready, but you don't have to fight. Stand ready. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Think of the promise there. You don't have to fight. Stand ready. I'm going to deliver some things. Shalom. I'm going to make it whole. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. And the Lord will be with you. And God was speaking right to her soul, and I hope God is speaking right to your soul, these words. To the one whom we should fear the most, be still. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. God says, I have got this. Come to me. Connect to me. Conform to me. I am Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He's good, isn't he? Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. And you are so dangerous. And we forget about your tremendous power. And yet, in your presence, because we're your kids, we don't need to fear that power. But we can live at peace because you are the hand of protection in our life. And may we just find rest for our soul as we come to your Son, connect with your Son, and live and conform to be like him. We pray in Christ's name.